I'm Trey Wingo.
And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers?
That's the butterfly effect for real.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. This is the Monday Night Football Week 3 recap. Myself, John Breach, and Ryan Wilson are going to break down what can only be described as a disappointing 34-20 Kansas City Chiefs victory over the Baltimore Ravens on Monday night in Baltimore, a game that we thought would be a shootout. A thrilling affair between the two best teams in football that would come down to the wire. And I don't know how to say this, but Patrick Mahomes completely outplayed Lamar Jackson.
He, in the words of the Pick Six podcast, dunked all over Lamar Jackson.
I mean, it's pretty bad. Like, and the you know, Steve Levy and the ESPN announcers kept and Lou Riddick, I don't know if you guys caught up on that. Patrick Mahomes' mother was very upset that Lewis Riddick kept calling Patrick Mahomes Pat Mahomes.
Oh, did she say she said something
during
the game? Oh,
okay. And then they posted it on the TV and Lou was like, my bad. Because he was calling him Pat Mahomes, his Patrick.
Now, do you think Pat Mahomes' mom, I did it on purpose, do you think she's tweeting the middle of the game if her son's not winning in a blowout? Like, if this is 28-27 in the third quarter, you think she's complaining? Or do you think she's like, you know what, they're saying his name walks, he's thrown 5 touchdown passes, let's get this fixed?
I'm trying to think of another example. Like, I guess, like, if somebody was like Matt Stafford over and over again, I guess you'd be mad. Or Phil Rivers. It's like he's Philip Rivers. He wants to go by Philip Rivers. Matthew Stafford wants to be Matthew Stafford. Patrick Mahomes wants to be Patrick Mahomes.
Thomas Brady.
Mitchell Trubisky wants to be Mitchell Trubisky.
No, he doesn't want to be Mitch.
He was
Andrew off the rails since he
Andrew Dalton.
But you're reversing it, Breach.
No, but I'm saying, but nobody called it. It works either way. If nobody
you
calls
would never
him that name.
You would never extend it. And by the way, if you wonder why Andy Dalton can't win a playoff game. Because he won't go by Andrew.
He's a grown man.
Joey Harrington couldn't make it.
I mean, what kind of age do we live in that a quarterback's mom can go to Twitter and call out an announcer and get something to change like during the game? This is amazing.
Hey, Breach, I don't know if you know this. It's 2020.
Wilson, I don't know what year it is anymore, to be honest. I lost track in like 2010. And now, I don't even know what's going on anymore.
By the way, we do the daily Pick Six podcast video show from 4 to 4:30 on CBS Sports HQ, and you can find it on – where do you find it, Brinson?
Roku, Amazon, Apple, Fire TV, PlayStation, Xbox, anything, 4 p.m. Eastern to 4:30 p.m. every day – actually, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And Breach and Wilson are on with me on Wednesdays, Prisco and Brady doing picks. But Tuesday is Champions League stuff. So – at any rate, check it out on Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. If you listen to this podcast, you'll like that, and we appreciate anyone who comes and watches and hangs out. In this game, Lamar Jackson finished 15-28 with 97 passing yards and one touchdown. A short 5-yard pass to my man Nick Boyle. J.K. Dobbins was his leading receiver, 4 catches, 38 yards. Yikes. Lamar was a leading rusher, 9 carries, 83 yards. And Patrick Mahomes, conversely, 31-42 for 385 yards and 4 touchdowns, no picks. Travis Kelce is leading receiver, but Mecole Hardman, Tyreek Hill, Anthony Sherman, and 2013 number one overall pick. Yeah. Eric Fisher caught touchdown passes from Patrick Mahomes. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, the leading rusher, 20 carries, 64 yards. This was pure and simple an ass kicking by the Chiefs, who, look, credit where credit's due, Breach. You consistently throughout the week explain that if the Chiefs got a big lead on the Ravens, and this is their bugaboo, they can't play from behind. They cannot play from behind.
I think now, Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson has never come back from a 10-point deficit. Is that right, Breach?
No, it's actually even worse. Lamar Jackson, since he became a starter, is 0-9 in his career when the Ravens trail at halftime. And then also on top of that, has never came back from a 10-point deficit. So it's basically you jump out to any sort of lead against this team and they just get all out of sorts. The offensive play calling just, I don't know if Greg Roman just gets uncomfortable or doesn't trust Lamar to throw. I don't know what happens, but everybody just starts panicking and they fall apart.
So look, this is not all on Lamar. Mark Andrews was targeted 8 times, finished with 3 catches and 22 yards. He must have had 5 drops.
Yeah.
Marquise Brown had some bad drops early. Now, Lamar had a pass on, I think they were down, were they down 14? And they're marching, and he had a pass down the sideline where if he puts any air on it whatsoever, yeah. And it's a pretty basic throw. Like, Hollywood smokes the defender, gets past him, and if Lamar puts air on it, it's a touchdown pass, and they're kicking the extra point with like 7 minutes left, and they're down 7, and maybe it's a game. But that was as sloppy as I've seen the Ravens in a long time. And I feel like it was a lot sloppier than the Titans playoff game too.
Yeah, in fact, it left me questioning myself because all week I was yelling at a Breach about how this team has as many, maybe more offensive weapons than the Chiefs. They have a better defense. Chiefs defense was slapping them around. And Lamar Jackson, which he rarely does, was running for his life and not in a good way. Usually he runs for his life and then he has 200 rushing yards. That wasn't the case. He was uncomfortable. He was frustrated. You know it's bad when at the end of the game you're sitting on the bench and RG3 is telling you what you did wrong. I mean, that's a bad day in the office. It reminds me, the last time they were this flustered, quote unquote, I feel like wasn't that playoff game you're talking about, Brinson? I think it was the Steelers game where they almost lost to Mason Rudolph. They'd go to overtime. Lamar threw 3 picks in that game. And my fear as a Steelers fan was after 3 games, Lamar Jackson looked so much better than he did last year. And now I don't know if there's any blueprint.
After 2 games and then.
Right. Sorry. After 2 games, he looks much better than last year. There's no blueprint necessarily. I think the blueprint, as Breach pointed out, is to get up early on the Ravens.
The blueprint is like have Patrick Mahomes. I mean.
Or get up early and see what happens. But I think the lesson is that we deserve what we get for doubting the Chiefs and Andy Reid, number one. And number two, the Ravens aren't infallible. Like they are, there's now some real question about who the number two team is in the AFC.
Well, and I'll say real quick, the Ravens weakness, obviously you have to get ahead of them, but there's only 2 or 3 teams in the NFL who are capable of that because there's only 2 or 3 teams that have as much talent and equally good coaching. So it's obviously easier said than done. You can count on one hand the number of teams that can do this to the Ravens, the Chiefs obviously being one of them since they are now 3-0 against Lamar Jackson and Baltimore. And the other thing I'll say real quick is that Wink Martindale, the Ravens defensive coordinator, he has no idea how to stop Patrick Mahomes. He has no idea how to stop Andy Reid. He has no idea how to stop Eric Bieniemy's play calling. Mahomes went into this game averaging 375 pass yards in 2 games against Baltimore and Martindale. He threw for 385 and 4 touchdowns. Like, do you learn anything? And you know, it's not like Patrick Mahomes is out here throwing 385 yards against everyone. You can slow him down a little bit. We saw the Chargers do it last week. What you don't do is blitz on every play.
Correct.
Because Patrick Mahomes eats that up. It's like
Patrick Mahomes' numbers against the blitz were on Monday night?
It's something insanely awesome. That's
it is.
All I know.
15 of 19 for 191 yards and 3 touchdowns. Maybe stop blitzing him, Don. Maybe quit blitzing him. Like, how many times do you have to send extra pressure on Patrick Mahomes and watch him find Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill or Mecole Hardman or anybody
or
else?
Or Anthony Sherman.
Like, It was, and I'm mad at myself. This is a good spot for if the Chiefs got up early, just hammer the Chiefs on the live line.
Second half line?
That's a good question.
Okay, I thought you were looking at it when you were doing it.
I don't I don't know, but I actually think the Ravens covered in the second half.
If you got the over-under when it came out, 52.5, you won. If you didn't, you lost.
If you bought it right before kickoff, it was 54. Vegas is very good at what they do.
Yeah.
Like the over-under closed at 54.5 and it finished with 54 points. Now, I do think that there is a game script here, right? And this goes back to when we talk about DFS and we talk about live betting and all that. And if the Ravens were leading, I think this game goes way over.
Because the Chiefs can score points.
Exactly. But if you get a game with the, and we need to, people listening and myself, I'm telling myself this more than anything, need to look out for this moving forward. If we get in a situation where the Ravens are playing, let's say the Ravens are playing the Titans again, or a team like that, and the Titans defense isn't very good, but like a team that can impose their will on the Ravens a little bit, like you want to hammer the live under or hammer the, you know, because the Chiefs were dogs. Up until, I think, when they needed to go up 13-3 when they were really favored. And at that point, you should have, you know, been peppering the Chiefs, not the Ravens.
By the way, Breach mentioned, he said offhandedly, you can count on one hand the number of teams that can get up on the Ravens. I think that's right. My one-handed count in the AFC anyway, I'm counting the Bills, the Patriots, the Steelers, the Titans, and, of course, the Chiefs. That's five. I don't know if there's any other ones you feel like. And, of course, the Jets. That goes without saying. But that's five. And I think those teams are now legitimately in the conversation of being competitive with the Ravens. Should they meet in their schedule, which the Steelers will do twice, or should they meet in the playoffs at some point?
Well, and one thing about playing with the Ravens or getting ahead of them is you have to be a well-coached team because it's all about – defensive guys maintaining the responsibilities. Like if you've got a lane, if Lamar Jackson come near, if he's near you, you tackle him. If he's not, that's someone else's responsibility. You just have to stick to what you're doing or Lamar's going to weave his way out of trouble and get a 30-yard gain like he did in the opening possession here. And the thing is, you mentioned probably the best five well-coached teams in the AFC with Belichick, with Mike Vrabel, you know, he's a great defensive coach. Sean McDermott is a very good defensive coach. And Andy Reid, the Chiefs, it doesn't even matter because they'll outscore you. But obviously they had a very good defensive game plan tonight. Although I did think the Ravens just after that opening drive, Lamar ran for
their opening drive was 11 plays, 67 yards, 5 minutes and 40 seconds. They were absolutely gashing the Chiefs on the run, on the ground. They get to a 4th-and-3 in the red zone. They decided to pass, I think, on 2nd and 3rd. They get to 4th-and-3, and Harbaugh kicks, which is like the polar opposite of everything he'd done last year. They get a field goal. The Chiefs respond with 2 touchdowns, one including a missed extra point. That's how you get to 13-3. The Ravens then got a kickoff return from Devin Duvernay, the rookie, and their next score was in the third quarter. They went touchdown on kickoff return, punt, fumble, end of half.
And you take that kickoff return for a touchdown away. This game's a total blowout instead of just like a mostly blowout. So it was kind of crazy. You know, I think a lot of people did question. John Harbaugh was like Mr. Analytics last year. He was going for it on 4th and down, left and right, telling the story about, hey, Lamar Jackson came to the sideline and said, I want to go for it, coach. So we changed our minds and we went for it and we got it. And I really feel like he got a little burnt in that Titans game because they went for it so often early. And if they would have taken the points there, you take a couple field goals against Tennessee, that game's a lot closer and you stay with what you're comfortable with. And I feel like because of that, he said, hey, if we're playing a good team, I'm going to take the points. If we're playing the Browns, or the Bengals, I'm going to go for it. But if we're playing the Chiefs, I'm going to take the points. Cause I did think it was weird that on 4th and goal from the 5-yard line, he absolutely could have gone touchdown, but he decided to kick the field goal.
Here's the thing.
It 4th and goal or is it 4th and, I thought it was 4th.
It was 4th and 3.
First down.
4th and 3, even worse.
Even worse, yeah.
But here's the thing. The Chiefs defense isn't setting the world on fire, number one. Number two, your quarterback isn't Joe Flacco. It's Lamar Jackson.
Right.
So you can't have this dichotomy of in Breach's theory, I'll be conservative against good teams and go analytics crazy against crap teams. I mean, that's not going to work, and it clearly didn't work here. And also, I'll go back to my old crutch here. I won't use Bill Belichick this time. What would Andy Reid do in that situation? He ain't kicking a field goal.
Probably not.
No.
So here's the Ravens' first drive. Mark Ingram, 5-yard run. Mark Ingram, 3-yard run. Lamar Jackson, 30-yard run. Lamar Jackson, passing complete. Lamar Jackson, 5-yard run. J.K. Dobbins, 6-yard run. Mark Ingram, 11-yard run. Lamar Jackson, pass to Devin Duvernay, 7 yards. Lamar
Duvernay,
Jackson,
Duvernay,
incomplete.
Duvernay.
Duvernay? Oh, yes. Yeah. Why did I say Duvernay?
Doesn't matter. Just
like, can we get a recording of that that I can have a button to impress every time the Ravens play, please?
Duvernay.
That would potentially be embarrassing for me. Lamar Jackson passing complete on second. Lamar Jackson pass for no gain on third. And then the field goal. And it really felt like they came out with, because we've seen them do this. We saw them do it to the Patriots last year, where the Patriots came into Baltimore and the Ravens were small favorites, and they imposed their will on New England early on. And it felt like passing twice and then kicking there, it gave all the energy back to the Chiefs. And there's no fans there. That makes a big difference, of course. But, you know, Mahomes goes down and runs in for a touchdown. And
Brinson, to your point, so that the drive, they got down to Kansas City's 15-yard line. And to get there, they averaged 10 yards per carry on 6 carries.
And then stopped running it.
So you think, hey, you know what? Maybe we'll run the ball once, twice, maybe three times down here to try and get it in the end zone. And they call 3 straight passes. Like, that's so un-Baltimore-like that it blows my mind that there wasn't a single run in there. And then obviously we mentioned the field goal on third down. And then the Ravens just look out of sync after that. I don't know if the offense just lost all faith in themselves because they got shut down inside the 15. They went 3 and out and lost 14 yards on their next drive. Negative 14 yards on their next drive going 3 and out. And it just never felt like Baltimore offensively recovered after that.
Reach, you mentioned the stat that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens are 0-9 after trailing at halftime. NFL research goes on to point out they are the only team in NFL without a single win after trailing at halftime in that span. And again, that's 2018 to present. So that's Adam Gase. That's the Giants.
The Bengals.
The Bengal. I mean, that's an issue.
And that's a telling stat.
I don't know what the problem is and how you get to that point and how you fix it. It's not Lamar Jackson, I don't feel like, but maybe we need to go back and double check.
Patrick Mahomes on 10-plus air yards in this game. 7 of 11, 186 yards and 2 touchdowns, 17.5% above his expected completion percentage. That's how good he was. Lamar Jackson, 3 of 11, 37 yards, the same throws, 3 of 11, 37 yards, 1 touchdown, negative 18.8 completion percentage over expectations. In other words, that's how bad he was. He was wildly inaccurate. He didn't look like a guy who'd progress as a passer. He wasn't making his reads. Greg Roman called a terrible game, I felt like. He took 2 horrible sacks in the red zone to put him in like 4th and 15 in a spot where you know you're not going to be able to pull it out. Just a unbelievably bad game from Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
No.
I'm not willing to. He's not why they lost, I don't feel like. I think it was a confluence.
Well, they lost because their defense gave up 517 yards and 5 touchdowns to Patrick Mahomes. But, right. If it's Chiefs Ravens, it's going to be a shootout. And so Lamar Jackson has to know that's on his shoulders and he didn't come prepared for a shootout. This is like Patrick Mahomes brought a bazooka and,
Lamar Jackson had a butter knife.
Yeah, a stick.
I was going to say a slingshot.
It was an ass kicking across the board at every position.
Except Justin Tucker outdid Harrison Butker.
That is true. Harrison Butker had cost a lot of people money on the first quarter over, by the way.
I can never remember how he spells his last name, so I just go Butker.
Butker. Butt kicker.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we will talk about what the future holds for these two teams.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting taking the entire family on an adventurous trip. Maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. I wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Okie doke. So, again, the Ravens got pounded. They got pounded.
I know.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how concerned are you for the Ravens? You're a Steelers fan, Ryan. What are the emotions running through your head after that game? Like, oh, because I know where Pete Prisco's at. Pete Prisco, who has a bet with me about Ravens versus Steelers for the division, is thinking, is licking his chops.
Oh, who'd you pick the Ravens? He picked the Steelers?
That's why. Yeah, so we have two bets going.
Yeah.
I think it's either 50 or 100 on each. I got the Lions. He got the Packers.
Oh, boy.
But I got the Ravens. He got the Steelers.
I would rather be Pete.
Well, right now, yes, that is correct.
I was never on the Lions bandwagon. I was not. But
he took the Ravens. I took the Ravens. Breach, why did you just ask us what time we're starting?
What is wrong with Breach?
Originally, I took the Ravens, and he took the Steelers straight up. And then he was like, "You got to give me the Packers versus the Lions." To be fair, I was like, "All right, whatever."
All right. Well, you asked me on a scale of 1 to 10 how I feel about the Ravens being a concern. I'm at a 2. The Ravens are going to be fine. And I bring it up. I brought it up last time we talked last week. Remember when the Packers went to the Los Angeles, played the Chargers, and didn't show up? It ain't a big deal. And who were we talking about last week that got smoked by the Saints? Who lost to the Saints? So it feels like 2 years ago. And we said they were
Buccaneers?
No. Who said so they got caught up in the New Orleans?
Well, New Orleans is 1-2.
I don't even remember maybe it was the Buccaneers. I don't remember.
Well, here's a better example. How about this? In week 4 of last year, the Cleveland Browns came to Baltimore and beat the living snot out of out of the Ravens. And then the Ravens didn't lose again for the rest of the year. Right. Here's the Ravens schedule. Ravens at Washington football team next week.
Wait.
Bengals at Ravens the week after that.
Loss.
Ravens at Eagles the week after that.
Tie.
Steelers Ravens on 10/25.
Where is that game?
That is in Baltimore.
Oh, sorry. Here's what I meant. Remember we said the Saints, we were like, oh, they went out in Las Vegas and went crazy. That's what I was trying to say. That's the game. So the point is that.
The Saints lost. Okay.
But they were in Las Vegas and New Orleans, and Las Vegas, I think.
Real quick, I was trying to add, this might change Ryan's answer about his concern level. I shared a tweet from Sarah Ellison who said, in the post-game interview, Lamar Jackson basically said, hey, look, the Chiefs' defensive game plan looked a lot like the one the Titans used in the playoffs, which is an issue for me because you should be expecting that. Like, if a team literally used that to crush you, that you should have your eye out for that and assume that a team might use that on you. Like, I'm thinking that after the Chargers used that, like, 8 defensive back defense in that playoffs 2 years ago, that the Ravens probably expected to see that all last year. They never saw it, but you need to be prepared for it.
Or conversely, Bill Belichick knew it was coming and destroyed it the following week. You know, he's like, oh, that, please. I'll Death Star that.
And yeah, for the Ravens not to be ready for that at all is mind-blowing.
I mean, give the Chiefs credit for executing, too.
That's the thing. They're not the Titans' defense last year. They did something with players that are replacement level in terms of how the production. They have a lot of good players, obviously, but in terms of the production, they haven't been lights out. So that's a huge deal.
Do we move?
You
want
a fun fact real quick? The Chiefs defense has given up 20 points in every single game they played this year.
That's a fun fact. That's good too. In 2020, that's real. Maybe
2020.
What if the Chiefs defense is just good again? Like it was good down the stretch last year. Maybe they're just good.
By the way, if they give up 20 points in every single game, the Chiefs are going
16-0,
20-0,
19-0,
19-0. Yeah.
Um, So the Ravens have, before their week 8 bye, Washington, I mean, lay whatever the point spread is against Washington.
13.5 right now. So. Yeah.
It should come down. Lay it. They get the Bengals in week 5, Philly in week 6, and the Steelers in week 7 before their bye. Then they have the Colts, Pats, Titans, Steelers, Cowboys, Browns. Whew. That's a tough one. This reminds me of last year. They might just reel off a bunch of wins, though.
I don't think they're going to reel off. That coming out of the bye, you have to play at Indianapolis, at New England. Remember the Colts manhandled the Chiefs last year. I think that was the only game the Chiefs lost where Patrick Mahomes was like 100% healthy or mostly healthy. And the Colts just ran the ball down their throats and they won 19-13. And so they're a team that has a disciplined defense. I could see them.
These are the best defense in football.
Yeah, I could see them. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Points, their fewest points per game. I could see them giving the Ravens fits. I don't know if they're going to win that game. The Patriots, that's always going to be a challenge. The Titans, obviously going to be a challenge. And then you have to play the Steelers on 4 days rest after you play the Titans. So, I mean, and then the following Thursday.
I'm not saying they're definitely going to do it. I'm saying it reminds me of last year where they had like the Saints, Bills, and 49ers back to back to back and won all those games and then just sort of launched themselves into orbit.
And just looking at their schedule, I would say I'm a 4 concern. I don't see a way for them to get the number one seed. I feel like they're going to go 12-4 at best with the schedule.
Okay, so that wins the AFC North, and they're going to the playoffs.
And that's at best, though.
That's not an issue for the Ravens, going to the playoffs. Like the.
But here's the thing. They were the number
one seed. Yeah, winning a playoff game for once.
Ooh, that's pretty.
See, tough. I hate that argument.
You use it every day on me with Andy Dalton.
That was like 15 years of that.
It's the same thing.
No, it's not.
You got to win a playoff game.
Playoff games.
You have to win a playoff game.
Breach is in 2020 NFL season. He's winning the dunks.
All right, fine. I'll dunk on myself.
He is winning the dunks on the Brent.
He missed them.
Listen, I do agree that 2 games is a small sample size, and maybe it's not fair to judge him yet.
And one of them, he came in midseason as a starter, replacing Joe Flacco, and took over and lost to the Chargers in that 8.
But here's the reality, and you're right, Brent.
We did this with Aaron Rodgers. We did it with Matt Ryan. We do it with every quarterback
who's
a star who comes along. They were trying to do it with Patrick Mahomes. Can he win the AFC Championship game? Can he win the big one? Like, we don't have to do it every time. Like, eventually Lamar Jackson will win a playoff game.
There's a difference between winning the big one, which we did it with Peyton Manning, and just winning a single playoff game.
Lamar Jackson is not Andy Dalton. I mean, no offense, but he's not, right? We agree with that.
Well until he wins MVP. A playoff game, he has the same postseason wins amount as
Andy
Dalton.
MVP. Andy Dalton is a replacement-level quarterback who had, like, a hot streak for a couple minutes for the Bengals. It's ridiculous comparison.
As Breach noted, they both have yet to win.
For instance, how many NFL MVPs have never won a playoff game?
I mean, the answer has to be 0 or 1, I guess, if you got Lamar.
Thank you.
Is that right? Do you know?
No, I don't.
You're just guessing.
Since 2000, I don't know about throughout history.
He just wanted you to dunk on yourself, and you did it again.
I mean, now you need to be looking up NFL MVP list.
He's fine. The Ravens are fine.
It's ridiculous to complain.
They were like, the number one
seed. The reason they didn't
year.
Win a playoff game last year is because they were the number one seed, so they got a bye.
What does that mean?
Well, they would have. They had one less chance.
Have nothing to worry about this year because they're not going to be the number one seed.
I'm trying to find. Let's see, Adrian Peterson won a playoff game, right?
Yep, they made it. Brett Favre's team made it to the NFC title game.
That's right. LT's won a playoff game because Rivers won it. Sean Alexander ever win one?
No. Yeah, they went to the Super Bowl. You know who I looked up immediately because I thought the answer was going to be was Barry Sanders. And the Lions' last playoff game win came in 1991, and he was on the team.
There you go.
Thurman Thomas obviously won one. Did Boomer Esiason win one?
Yeah, of course.
Boomer Esiason went to the Super Bowl.
Okay, I'm just running through the list and
you're rubbing things in my face is what you're doing. Brinson.
I was desperately hoping it was him. I'm assuming Marcus Allen won one. We know Marino.
Yeah,
won
he went to the Super Bowl.
How about Mark Mosley? Did he win one?
Yes, they went to the Super Bowl.
Brian Sipe?
He just wanted to name a kicker.
Now
Brian
Sipe
won one.
Did the Browns go to the playoffs back then? I think they were okay back then, but I don't know if he went to the playoffs.
Yeah, because remember they got their hearts ripped out by Elway.
That was – Sipe was
– Oh, Sipe never won one!
Yeah, Sipe was gone by then.
He went 0-1 in his career.
So basically you're saying Lamar Jackson is a modern-day Brian Sipe. That's not exactly a slam dunk.
I mean, the last – so it's Lamar Jackson and Brian Sipe.
That's your list. We did the research live on the podcast.
And then you have to go, I mean, this is insane how far back you have to. By the way, Roman Gabriel? How about Roman Gabriel, NFL MVP? Former NC State quarterback.
Yeah, they.
Oh, he never won a playoff game either.
That team, those teams didn't win? I feel like they did. No?
He is 0-2 in the playoffs as a starting quarterback.
In the 50s?
60s and 70s.
Oh, he played in the 70s. Oh, so I was thinking about O'Graham.
Gabriel, Sipe.
Brian, how would you feel about the Steelers against the Chiefs? Like, do you think they could slow down?
No, not great. That defense hasn't played well this year. No defense has played well this year except for the Chiefs on Monday night. So,
well, that was going to be my next question. Is like, how would you tier out the AFC now? Like, the Chiefs are by themselves. And I said going to this game, like, we don't need to make grand proclamations about what happened. Let's just enjoy the game. But I mean, that was an ass kicking.
Let's make the grand proclamations anyway. That's what we do.
I think the Chiefs are clearly in a tier by themselves now.
Yeah, I'll go number one, Chiefs, obviously. Number two, I'll go Bills, Titans, Bills, Ravens, Titans, Steelers.
Did J.K. Dobbins at least?
I'm going
J.K. Dobbins had one rushing attempt in this game? God dang. It's on every problem.
I think the Ravens are probably still the number two team. If you lose to the number one team, that doesn't necessarily mean you have to be knocked down a perch. But now it does, like you said, Brenton, the tier changes because tier one is the Chiefs.
Yes.
And then you drop off a 40-foot cliff. Now you have tier two starting with probably the Ravens, the Titans, the Bills, the Steelers, and the Patriots.
Right. And so I guess, I mean, like, would you, if it were Bills, Ravens, neutral field, there's no fans, who are you taking?
Minus 3.5, the Ravens, I feel like.
I mean, I would.
Who would you take at -3.5?
Ravens.
Yeah, right. I feel like the, because Josh Allen has to play a perfect game. And we talk about all this nonsense we're talking about, Lamar Jackson not winning playoff games. He wins big games in the regular season. We don't know if Josh Allen, yes, he got the call with the PI against the Rams. That's great. But I don't know. Bright lights, how he's going to do against Lamar Jackson.
But we did get a kind of look at maybe what the Bills, at what Sean McDermott would do against the Bills, because they played last season. I don't remember all the details of the game, but I do remember it was a one-score game. It was 24-17. The Ravens won. So it was a really good game. That's when the Ravens were hot. They were on, you know, as Brinson said, after they lose to the Chiefs and Browns at the beginning of the season, they were going off win after win after win. So they had won like 8 games in a row at this point. And Buffalo played them tough, but, you know, obviously they didn't win.
Okay. Any other thoughts from this game? By the way, Chiefs schedule coming up. Patriots at home next week. The line was 7 on the look ahead. What do you think it is now?
8.5.
6.
You think it went down?
Yes.
I think it just stays the same. I think it's just 7.
Here's my logic behind that is that I think if the Chiefs lose this game, you have that, we're going home to play the Patriots. We're not, you know, like you can't lose 2 in a row to 2 of the top teams, the AFC. So now you have an edge. And now that they win, I think they're, you know, you're on a short week. You have to fly back to Kansas City.
That's a terrible logic.
So the Chiefs have the Patriots, Raiders,
Belichick, Bills, one extra day.
Broncos, Jets coming up with their next 5 games.
They're giving up 20 points a game. They're going undefeated. We've decided that already.
Do they beat both the Pats and the Bills?
Yes.
I think they go 14-2.
Andy Reid's never won more than 12 games in Kansas City.
He had never drafted a running back in the first round until April. So,
and I think my annual theory of a team resting all their starters in week 17 is going to be the Chiefs, because they're going to be 14-1. They're going to have the number one seed clinched. They're going to bench everyone against the Chargers. It's not going to matter. And boom, they're going to lose.
I don't even know. Yeah, I mean, I think the problem is there's a very good chance the Chiefs rest their players in week 17, because you have the Steelers and Ravens still have to play twice. The Patriots and Bills still have to play twice. And the Chiefs don't have to play, you know, they have to play the Pats and the Bills. If they beat them, it's over in terms of chasing, walking them down in the AFC.
Oh, because you have the tiebreaker. Those teams have to finish a game ahead of you, so you essentially have a 2-game lead. Like,
exactly.
That's almost clinching it.
The Steelers would then need to sweep the Ravens and finish at like 13 wins going into the final week for Andy Reid to actually play his starters.
I don't want to start a whole new podcast with this question, so just give a quick answer. Who is the best 3-0 team that's not the Chiefs?
Packers. No, sorry. Seahawks. Can't let Russ cook.
What would the line be, Seahawks Chiefs Super Bowl?
Oof.
Chiefs 4.5?
It's something 3?
I don't know. I think it'd be more than 3.
No way.
Over under would be like 62. Chiefs Seahawks would be awesome in Tampa. Yeah,
I think
CBS bosses would eat that up.
But we would also eat up Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers in the State Farm Bowl.
Absolutely.
I'd rather have Russ.
Wilson. I hope Aaron Rodgers isn't listening.
You literally on our 4 o'clock show earlier today said you would sell the Packers are the best team in the NFC.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah, I absolutely did. I'm saying you're talking about our CBS bosses loving a game. I'm saying our CBS bosses would love Patrick Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers.
And Patrick.
I think if they get Chiefs versus Seahawks or Packers, either one is fine. The nightmare fuel is
Chiefs versus Bengals.
Bills versus Cardinals.
By the way, Chiefs versus Bengals Super Bowl, the over-under is 4,000 points.
Bills-Rams.
Why? Because it can't happen? They can't play in the Super Bowl, Ryan. Have you ever covered the NFL before? Chiefs-Bengals? Come on now.
Bills-Rams is the hellscape for CBS bosses, right? It's a good game, but it'd still be, yeah. I think Chiefs versus Seahawks, Bucks, Saints, or Packers, or Cowboys.
What about Colts-Rams?
Brinson will be quite happy with that, but no one else will be.
I want Colts Seahawks.
Brinson will be the only CBS employee because of all the COVID restrictions down that he'll be reporting every day from like, Philip Rivers.
Travel is not allowed. I was like, I am going to Tampa Bay to see Philip Rivers play in the Super Bowl. You cannot stop me.
I am standing outside Philip Rivers' hotel room reporting live. He has his nine children here.
Hey, Phil. He's like, what are you doing?
He rented out the whole entire floor so that he could fit his entire family in this hotel.
Titans Eagles would be bad.
Titans Eagles. How did the Eagles get in the Super Bowl? They driving with you down there to see Philip Rivers?
I mean, they're a half game out of first place, buddy.
Good Lord.
Did Debo pay you to say that because he's not here? He's like, say something nice about the Eagles.
I was just looking at all the divisions. I mean, Washington and Dallas 1-2, and then Philly 0-2-1.
Well, if you go on that route, what about the Jets Giants? That would be a great Super Bowl.
I mean, the Giants are already – Giants are not out of it, but the Jets are already 3 games back.
Let's
not get crazy, Ryan.
This just said both the Giants and the Jets have been eliminated from the playoffs.
But to answer your question, I think the Seahawks right now are the best 3-0 team that are not the Chiefs.
And I think a close second is Green Bay. Very close.
I feel like the Chiefs would rout Green Bay, and the Seahawks would give them a very close game.
Yeah, that's probably right. That'll give Aaron Rodgers some motivation to
I just think they would try to play their Green Bay game, and like Russ would if the Chiefs play the way they did against Lamar today, Russ is lighting them up on the outside.
That's right. He's not missing the deep throws.
Because
you cannot – we're at the point in Russ's career where he cannot be confused.
Right. Lamar clearly was perplexed by some defense.
And that may – and he, some of his throws are off, I would imagine, as a result. I don't know to ask him, but we have yet to see Russ Wilson struggle with accuracy this season. That's typically a pretty good sign if you're a quarterback.
You have one game to win next week, are you taking Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes?
Russell Wilson.
That's perfectly fair to answer that. I will not. Do I get Andy Reid and Brian Schottenheimer? Like, what's the deal here?
No, no. You do not get their coaches. You get... Adam Gase.
I'll just take Sam Darnold because I don't want to harm any of the quarterbacks.
I'll take Russ because Russ overcame the Seahawks offense. And Patrick Mahomes is a byproduct.
You get Adam Gase. What are you doing?
You have one game to win or else you die. You get Russell Wilson or Patrick Mahomes and Adam Gase. What do you do?
You jump off
quiz hot shot. All right. Any other what would you make the line in for the AFC North? Who's the favorite?
Well, the Ravens, clearly. 2-1.
Being back?
I would say the Ravens, but you're getting close to even money with the Steelers. Like, the Steelers would probably be like plus 110.
Yeah, I was going to say 110. And we'll see. Look,
the Ravens are like minus 150.
Yeah.
Maybe even like minus 120.
120
Steelers. And as Breach has pointed out, on the podcast yesterday, the Steelers have to go to Tennessee this week too, so that will tell us something.
Oh, I love the Steelers in that spot. Steelers, by the way, that's a Did we talk about that line? We did talk about that line.
It actually moved since we talked about it.
What is it? Favored.
Steelers are favored.
Smash spot in that game. Steelers team total, 23.5.
Wait, what's that?
They will score more than 24 points against
Texas. Oh, team total. What's the over-under? I mean, I'm sorry. What's the line at now, John?
Steelers minus one.
Okay.
What, and you think the Steelers, you're going to smash the Steelers in that spot?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
I think the Titans are fraudulent.
The Titans are not fraudulent. They went to the AFC title game last year. It was a 3-0, Brenton. What do you want from the Titans? What do you need to see from them this week to say they're not fraudulent? And here's a quick stat for you. Since 1990, home teams, when 2-3-0 teams meet, the home team is 9-2 against the spread. That's a free fun fact for you to bet with, Brenton.
Steelers are 3-0. I mean, the Titans are 3-0, and their point differential is +6. That is absurd.
I cannot wait till Breach moves to Pittsburgh and has to defend the Steelers like he defends the Titans for some random reason.
3-0 with a +6 point differential. You're winning games on an average by 2 points.
I mean, it's
a house of cards, Breach.
They barely have a better point differential than the Dolphins.
Yes, exactly.
But they have a much better record.
That is very, very. Hey, you know what? The Saints have a negative point differential,
and they are negative.
They're 1-2. That makes sense.
Not good.
If you're 3-0 and have a point differential of less than 10, it means you are winning a lot of games by one score, and you are flirting with disaster.
Or you're really good at winning close games.
The Raiders have a negative point differential. They're 2-1.
That's a Raiders thing.
The Bills secretly they're 3-0. They have a 16-point differential. Anyway, what are we doing here? All right, that's the podcast. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Brady Quinn football show. Pew 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 pew. See you guys.
And real quick. Did you end? Are we done?
No, I have not.
The last team to start 3-0 with a point differential of 6 or less was Washington in 2005.
How'd they finish?
I'm
laughing too hard at everything that I can't function right now. They finished 10-6, Will, and they made it to the divisional round of the playoffs.
Right. I think the Titans will probably finish with a decent record. 2005 Washington football team. Who was on that squad?
Was
that
Joe Gibbs was the coach, I believe.
Ramsey, Portis,
Patrick Ramsey. He was drafted in 02.
Yeah, Gibbs.
Jason Campbell was a rookie that season.
Liddell Betts and Clinton Portis was running wild.
Chris Cooley was on that team because he was drafted in 04.
Yeah, you're right. They had somebody named Antonio Brown, but it's not the same one.
Santana Moss, I believe, was on that team.
Clinton Portis.
Moss had almost 1,500 receiving yards that year. Wow.
Wait, was Brunell on that team?
Yeah, Brunell for 3,000 yards, 23 touchdowns, 10 picks.
That was, I lived in D.C. at the time, and that's when they brought Joe Gibbs back to coach, obviously, and he did not like being in the shotgun because he thought there was too much of an opportunity to fumble the ball out of the snap. That's how much things have changed.
So Spurrier had been fired 2 years before, and they brought Gibbs back. That was the gambit. Right. Let's bring Gibbs back to replace Spurrier.
They went to the playoffs.
Yeah, 10-6. They won their games 9-7, 14-13, 20-17. Then lost, oh my God, every game is a one-score game.
5 of their 6 losses were by one score.
Incredible.
And you know what? The Titans will happily take 10-6 because that would end this 9-7 nonsense that they've dealt with for the past 4 years.
All right, what are we talking about here? Let's
get. Now we can. I promise not to bring up anything else up.
One more thing. subscribe, rate, review. Talk to you guys later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and 3-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.